to look into your word today. We pray that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible said that wisdom is the principal thing, and above everything, we are advised or admonished to get wisdom. And therefore, O Lord, the deposit of wisdom of God that you have released into our lives this month, it will speak forth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Testimony shall abound in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will open my eyes of understanding to gain access to the deep things of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The way to the next level of our lives shall be released afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Better for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We quickly look into the word of God as we take time to feed on the manna. And we started the month talking about the subject of wisdom. We were told that we are born to reign and to rule in life by the wisdom of God. It is not something that the charismatics just try to, let's come, let's put up something together, a nice topic to discuss. Neither is it something that the motivational speakers put together. Right from the foundation of the world, the plan of God for his creature, for humanity, is to rule and reign. Like that song that we sang, that Jesus will rule in our lives. It is his plan to rule in our lives and to reign. And as he's doing that, we are going to be experiencing it by ourselves, that we'll be having it the way we want it. We'll be enjoying supernatural dominion over every issue of life. Challenges are there. But we'll be operating as if they never existed. They asked one man of God, they said, "Do you ever have a problem?" He said, "Oh, maybe it came, I never noticed it." Why? He never saw problem as a problem, he saw it as opportunities. And people look at his life and say, "Okay, what's so special with you?" He said, "No, he doesn't see problem as problem. He normally looks at it as opportunities." And that is the truth. So we'll be looking at the fifth part of it today, born to rule and reign by divine wisdom. Remember, we started by looking at the subject of wisdom and saying that that is the most important thing. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. The principal means the major things. It is the major thing. And we look at the product of wisdom. And you cannot rule, you cannot reign in life without wisdom. It's impossible. Wherever you see a great story being told, or wherever you see greatness or success, evidently there is wisdom there. Without wisdom, you cannot reign. Without wisdom, success is impossible. Without wisdom, it is impossible to have dominion. In fact, without wisdom, it is impossible to serve God in an acceptable or in an acceptable way. You will be making it up. You will be faking it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But with the wisdom of God in place, you will see things just fixing it naturally into the place they're supposed to be. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And we also look at the fact that the source of wisdom is God himself. The wisdom that we're talking about is not wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of God, and if it is the wisdom of God, the only genuine source of wisdom of God is God himself. You can only get the wisdom of God in God, and we also look at the fact that the wisdom of God is encapsulated in his word. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, the more of his word, or the more the depth of your revelation of his word, the more of that, the manifestation of that wisdom in your life. That life is not a product of luck. Now, oh man, this man is a very lucky man. No, that's not true. That is fantastic. That's what failures, how about they say? No, it's not a product of luck. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyone that is ready to look or to live according to the word of God is bound to succeed. It's not a game of chance that, okay, if I do permutation, if I put this one together, we'll do it. I mean, maybe every time, maybe she said, I will record 70% success. No. The issue of the wisdom of God or the word of God is 100% success. Say 100% success. 100% success. That's what the word says, and God is not a liar. And so last week we look at the fact that even though it is the wisdom of God, we look at the fact that, that the seat of that wisdom is our mind. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when you have a sound mind, then you have a sound life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the word of God now. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting from verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Here it is written, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. This was Paul that was writing to Timothy, his son in the Lord. Verse 4, he said, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of my tears, that I may be filled with joy. Say, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Louise, and thy mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, he was saying that this guy was raised in a godly home. The grandmother was a woman was that was full of faith. And the mother also, he said, when I call to remember the unfaithful that is in thee, we dwell first in thy grandmother. So the issue of home or where somebody comes from is very important as well. This man was raised in a faith-filled home. He was raised in a home where the word of God was given the supreme place. He was raised in an environment where what the word of God says is what matters. For example, in some home where somebody says, oh, my body is doing some, I'm sick. They will join him to make it worse and say, yeah, he's sick truly. That boy is truly sick. But if you live in a home where the word of God is given his rightful place, they will tell you that no, by his stripe, you are made whole. Even though the fact is that you are seeing that sickness now, but the truth is that by his stripe, you are made whole. Because the Bible says that those things that are seen were made by things that are not seen. So your healing has been purchased. So Timothy was raised in this kind of home. And he said, and thy mother, so the grandmother transferred to the mother, and the mother transferred to Timothy. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. I like this word, the way it was translated in Yoruba. You know, Yoruba people say, oroinu. You know, to that is to stir. You know, the way you make your pap or manna green, you know, you stir it. You know, it's just like when you have your tea. You know, those of us that like to drink coffee, if you put sugar there, the sugar will not stay on the top, isn't it? It goes down. And if you don't stir up the sugar, you can do sugarless coffee. Whereas the sugar is down there. Hello? The same way, the solution to that mountain, the power to blast off that mountain is already in you because the Spirit of God is living in you. Hello? He is the carrier of that wisdom. He is the carrier of that power. He is the carrier of that solution because that solution is in the Word of God. So, but you have to stay up. Hallelujah. When you stay up, then you come up. It's already there. Like we said the other day, the rod that Moses needed to take care of the challenges of his life and challenges of the nation was already in his hand. He didn't say, okay, Moses, close your eyes right now. Say, okay, God wasn't a 419. And they close your eyes. And they say, no, I stretch your hand and one rod just landed from heaven. No, it was the rod that was already in his hand. Hallelujah. When the power of God touched that rod, it became the instrument of power. The same way, Wisdom is inside also because the Spirit of God is leading them. He said, wherefore, I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. That gift is already in our spirit. You know, we said there that we are essentially spirits, isn't it? That spirit is living in a body. This your body, whether you're black or red, is not just you. The real you is within. And that's why when somebody died, bam, and they say, okay, let's go and bury him. You can't bury him. You can only bury his body. Hello? The moment, even if you put a real person that is living inside a pit and you put sand on him, the moment he breathes the last breath, the spirit will check out. It's only the body, the carcass that is there. You can't bury a spirit because the spirit cannot be stopped by a physical barrier. Hello? Thank you, Jesus Christ. But when we become born again, it is our spirit man that was created anew. Our mind has to be renewed and our body has to be trained to comply with the things of God. So he was telling him that you stir up your spirit so that the deposit of that wisdom can be passed to your mind, because it is your mind that is a link between the physical world and the spiritual world. Hello? So he said, if you don't stir him up, if you don't stir up that wisdom, it is there. It can remain dormant. And that's why, like one man of God said, or one wise man said, if you go to the oil wells of Iran, of Nigeria, of even of Norway, it's not the richest spot, or in Saudi Arabia, it's not the richest spot on this earth. The richest spot is burial ground. Because there were houses that were never built that went into the grave with those people. There were songs, there were inventions that were supposed to, people were supposed to come out with, but they never stirred it up. Hallelujah. Amen. They never stirred it up, so it didn't come up. They were drinking coffee, the coffee was bitter, and they are squeezing face every day. But the sugar is down there. It says, stir up that gift, that word, that deposit, the gift of God. The Bible said that Joshua was filled with the wisdom of God when the servant of God laid his hand on him. Moses laid his hand on him. So it was deposited. It was in potential form. Potential does not equal to reality. It is the potential that you trade. And that's why we have a country, this is sixth or fifth year producer of oil, becoming the one of the highest importer of refined products. We had the deposit, but we refuse to stir it up. Connecting with the wisdom to manage it in such a way that we have it and still be selling it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have the best cocoa planted in West Africa. Go to Côte d'Ivoire especially. But the best chocolate factories are found in Europe, in Switzerland. Hello? We have companies like Cadbury. Cadbury is not made, it's not an African company. Cadbury majors in producing cocoa products, sweet and all these things. Do they plant cocoa in Britain? So why then do we have the best cocoa product? Cocoa manufacturing company, chocolate manufacturing company in there. Because we refuse to stir up what is in us. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Paul said, stir up that gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting off of my hand. So it has been transferred there. It's already there. But stay up. Now, let's see the link. He said, for because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul was simply saying that the level of the soundness of your mind determines how successful you will be in life. There is nothing that God will do for you that will not pass through your mind. So we have the responsibility to position our mind to receive from God. Hello? The child that Sarah needed was waiting for her. But until they connected, the husband and the wife, wasn't delivered. The angels came and said, in a year and after the order of life, you're going to have it. She laughed. She said, maybe these people they've taken too much brukutu today. She couldn't grasp, her mind couldn't grasp having a child after menopause, you know, men, oh, pause, men, don't come to me anymore. Oh, the eggs don't disappear. Hallelujah. Because at 75, of course. But God, who is the life, source of life, said, with me, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So until your mind can receive it, you cannot receive anything from God. That's the truth. Look at the greatest gift in life after the fall, which is salvation. Can you be saved without your mind? Can your brother be saved on your behalf? You cannot even be saved on behalf of your child. With which mind do you have faith to be saved? I mean, which part of your body? Is it your brain? No, your mind. Somebody come to you and say, okay, somebody was nailed 2017 plus years in, not in your city, not in the centrum, in Stockholm, all far away in Jerusalem. And he said, okay, believe that when he was killed, all the blood that came from his body, he washed away your sin. Ah, how? But when your mind receives it and say, yes, I believe, that moment you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Hello? The mind is so important. The mind is so important. And that's why everybody that had an encounter with Jesus, he asked them, do you believe? Thank you, Jesus. In Philemon 14, he said, but without thy mind, would I do nothing, that thy benefits should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. So without your mind, God, the Almighty, will not do anything for you. Why? He did not create us to be robots. We are not machines. We are human beings that have right to make choice, and he wants us to choose willingly. And that's why God will never, never, never go to you and say, okay, this boy is not giving me seed. I'm going to steal it. No, it's not the thief. It's the Most High. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember, until you have the bread of life, you have not had anything in life. Until you have Jesus. No matter what you have. He said, I am the bread of life. John 6, 35 and 48. We're not going to read that one. Just a reference that until you have the bread of life, or the word of God, you don't have anything in life. Every other thing is what? Is what? It's nonsense without the word of God. Until you know the truth, you have not known anything. John 8, 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Until you know the truth, you remain in captivity. Because it is only the truth that can make us free. So you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. People can be free physically, but they can be free mentally, they can be in bondage, spiritually. Thank you, Jesus. The position of our mind is so important, especially when we are talking about the school of wisdom. Without a sound mind, you cannot operate by the wisdom of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's look at this one. Solomon wrote many in many places in his book, Ecclesiastes, about vanity. But in truth, and we have joy a lot of time when we look at things, especially when something happened that is bad, or maybe high level of frustration, we are trying to get at things, and just it look as if we are not able to get that thing. We say, oh, all is vanity. But is it the reality? Life is not vanity. Because God is the source of life. Hallelujah. And life is for a purpose. God is a God of purpose. He gave us life for a purpose. It is only when we depart out of the purpose of God that we begin to see life as vanity. That was what happened to Solomon. Solomon was a man fulfilled, but at a point in his life when he left serving, when he left doing the purpose for which he was created and then doing another thing, that was when he wrote Ecclesiastes. Let's look at examples here. You will see some funny things that he quoted. You know, God, we put this thing together called Bible to help us, which is a manual for life. And that's why even the people who wrote it, that he used to write it, even when they make mistakes, he asked them to write it there. He didn't say, okay, don't doctor it somehow so that you know. No. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, vanity of vanities, said the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. In the same Ecclesiastes 1:14, he said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Vanity means empty. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with might. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. If you read further down in chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, then Satan I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it is happened even to me. How was this? Solomon speaking. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. You can see that it wasn't coherent anymore. How will it be coherent? Somebody that was married to 700 wives. He was married to 700 wives and 300 concubines. How many days do you have in a year? You have 365 days, isn't it? So which means that even if you want to be given one day to each wife, it will take 2 years. Oh no, more than 2 years actually. He became miserable because he departed from the truth at that time, from the God's ordained purpose for his life. The same man that built the temple, when he started marrying the strange woman, initially he started tolerating what the idols they brought. He said, okay, yeah, I can marry you, but you can still be doing your idol in the corner there. But later he joined them. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17 here. Ecclesiastes 2:17 said, therefore I hated life. Hello, how would you not hate life? To satisfy 1,000 men, women. You hate life. Because by the time this one come with his nagging, this one come with the wahala, say, you better go and hang yourself. Hallelujah. So it was, he departed. And how did it happen? The mind. He said, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Hello? So when your mind is not sound, the problem is that the issue is that it will affect every area of your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. So quickly today, as we round up, I want us to take like 5 minutes to dance. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just look at all obstacles to mental development. Remember that the level of soundness of your mind determines the soundness of your life. Your brain is the hardware that processes things for you, information for you. Just like when you have your computer, you have the hardware, but your computer cannot work. You have a brand new computer, one of the most expensive computers. Is it a Mac, whatever, what they call it? Yes. What do you call it? Wisdom? MacBook. Yeah. Whatever you call it, hallelujah. But if you go to the shop to buy it, without putting in the operating system, or if you take your phone, if you don't activate all the apps, it will not work. Your phone is just the hardware. The software has to be loaded in it. Otherwise, it will not work. When I had my phone, I discovered that it couldn't record. It didn't come with the ability to do that. I had to download the software on it so that I could use it to record voice. Hallelujah. The hardware had the potentials, but that potential has to be converted to reality. The same way, your brain, it has the ability to relate with the world, the world system, or the physical realm. But the software of your life that determines how successful you will be, or even whether you will make heaven or not, is your mind, sir. Because the reason is that if your mind tells you, if you use your mind to follow the devil, or to say, okay, I don't want to serve God anymore, the spirit will follow. You don't have a choice. Hallelujah. Amen. Your mind will not be hijacked by the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why, the devil always wants to push you into doing things in a hurry. Because when you are in a hurry, or when emotion is in control, your mind can't reason well. That's why you discover that most of the mistakes we make were made when things come suddenly that we didn't have time to think through. Hallelujah. They came to Jesus and said, don't rush me. Give me time.
They say, okay, should we kill this woman? We caught her in the real act. Okay, do this. They say, okay, give me time. Bible says he knelt down, he stooped down. He was thinking, he was telling up the spirit and connecting with heaven. And the mind said, yes, I got it. The mind was able to take it from the spirit realm and he brought it with you. And said, now, whoever has not seen, let him through the first door. The solution to your life is already there. But you need to stir the mind. But if the mind is not sound, it will be impossible to stir it up. And that's why the devil tried, just like we have those hackers or those thieves that introduce viruses into your computer so that they can have access to it. The devil wants to have access to your mind so that you can hijack it. Do you know that the devil cannot destroy a country without gaining access to the hearts of some people? Angels cannot become Boko Haram. No. He had to introduce a virus into the mind of some people, especially their leader, and say, now, just like the one I want to steal your money, he cannot access your computer until he introduces a virus that will hook him up. The devil cannot have access to your mind until he introduces that virus. When that virus gets a place in your mind, then he can gain access and start what? Remoting you, using remote. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to look at the mind viruses. Things that can give access to the devil to corrupt the mind. Hallelujah. Remember, God said, without your mind, he can't do anything for you. Paul said to Timothy, he said, he should stay up. It means that connect your mind. The mind is the main part. Thank God for the spirit, of course. But for you to live a successful life, your mind has to be sound. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So what are the viruses that the devil has packaged to mess up our mind? Number one is offense. Say offense.
Offense
is a very subtle virus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A very subtle virus. It can come between you and other person or between you and even God. There are times when you pray, you believe God for something and say, oh, it's sure banker. It's settled. But it doesn't come at the time you expected it. Hannah has been going to Shiloh for years. Because as a Jewish person, it's normal to go every time. She went first year, second year after marriage, third year after marriage, no child. Ah. God, where's your eye? Where's your face? I don't even know if this God can handle it. I'd rather trust somebody else. That's offense. Already offended in God. Hallelujah. Already offended in God. They told Jesus, they said, okay, your friend Lazarus was sick. First day, didn't go. Second day, didn't go. Later, on the third day, he said, okay, let's go there. He said, okay. How did the sister react? Immediately, Jesus said, ah, Lord, if you were there, we don't have died. What have you been doing? It wasn't the day of GSM. We sent people to you, and they confirmed that they told you that your friend was sick. You didn't show up the first 3 days. Why? But Jesus said, don't worry. I'm the resurrection and the life. Nothing is too late with God. Are you offended in God? Offense is one of the most deadly mind virus. So beware. Beware. Your wife tells you something. Say, I notice it. Every time I raise that issue, somebody reacts one way. Hallelujah. You know, but the good thing is that Jesus said, offense will surely come. He didn't say, okay, it may come. He said, it will surely come. So things will happen that will make offense to come, but you have the right either to accept it or not. Hello? You can be offended in government. You can be offended even in yourself. Let's look at one very, very clear example. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. He said, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished this parable, he departed then. And when he was come into his own country, you know, he grew up there. He was raised in that place. So they knew him as a baby, as a child. Everybody saw him. Oh, we used to go to Bill together.
We used to go to the Centrum together. We used to take bus 179 or whatever. So I knew him very well. He said, he taught them, he said, and when he came into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, in so much that they were astonished. Yeah, they were surprised. And said, whence has this man this wisdom and this mighty work? So they saw wonderful things, wonderful works, wonderful miracles that were being wrought by his hands. And they acknowledged it that truly, yes, these were miracles. But look at how they reacted. Verse 55. He said, is this not the carpenter's son? I knew him. This man has done one abracadabra. He said, is his mother not called Mary? Ah! So I knew. Where did he get it from? I used to see him. We went to the same university. How can he have a better... in fact, I made first class. He made third class. How can he be better than me? He was offended. He said, is his mother not called Mary? He started mentioning his brothers. Because after him, Mary had a normal, regular relationship with the wife and with the husband and had kids. And said, is his brother not James? So they started mentioning his younger brothers. James, Jones, and Simon, and Judas. Four boys. I knew James. We were in the same class. As a matter of fact, we used to play ball together in the same place. He said, and his sisters, are they not with us? So they started mentioning the sister, but they, of course, the Bible did not tell us the name of his sisters, maybe minimum of two, at least. So Mary had at least six kids, minimum, after Jesus. He said, now, look at it. He said, whence then has this man all these things? They were still asking. 57, he said, and they were offended in him. You see, they could have reacted two different ways. They could have said, now, this man was raised in the same place where we were raised. Let me run to him and ask him, what is the secret behind this? I want to have it as well. Because the same God that created you, the same school that we went together, we were trained by the same teacher, it simply means that I can have it. It's just like when you see your friends at work or your colleagues making it. You say, they are all thieves. It's not everybody that's a thief. What is the secret? Because behind every success, there is a secret, sir. Hallelujah. Instead, they became offended and say, the carpenter. I remember my dad was far, far richer than his dad. Abba, his dad is a carpenter. In fact, the dining table we are using in our house and even in our restaurant, it was his daddy, the carpenter, that made him. But in fact, he followed him. That was his story. They were offended. And Jesus said, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And look at it. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because their mind could not receive him. He could not do anything. The Almighty could not do any mighty work for them because their mind could not receive it. He said in Philemon, until your mind comprehend, until your mind receive this, I can't have it. Will your mind believe? God is speaking to you. This is the year of divine enlightenment. You say, God, are you sure? The first 4 months has passed. But he's still telling you, with God, all things are possible. Don't be offended. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
He said he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. So offense is a very, very grievous one. Look at another example. You know Moses, when they gave birth to him, because they didn't, the Bible said he was so beautiful. So handsome baby. The mother said, I don't want this baby to die. She kept and kept and kept the baby. And when the baby became too big to hide, she put him in the basket and pushed inside water. And told the elder sister to monitor, isn't it? And that one, to cut the long story short, when the Pharaoh daughter discovered the baby, And look at her and say, I'm looking for somebody to raise this beautiful baby. I can't allow them to kill this baby. He said, this is a Hebrew lady. Call her. Can you look for somebody to help me to raise this child? Isn't it? So they called Miriam, which was Moses' elder sister, isn't it? So that means she was part of the people that preserved the life of this guy. Eventually, when God called Moses, Moses called them. Miriam was there. Aaron was there. But Moses was the senior pastor in the church. At a point, they gang up against Moses and say, ah, are you the only one? Are you the only one that God is speaking through? How did God react? If not that Moses cried and begged, God would have killed two of them. He was the youngest. But when it comes to the things of God, it's not like that. So when you see your younger brother, even your child might be flowing in a level of wisdom in one area than you. Be humble enough to accept. My dad was telling me the other day, he said, Femi, I'm now in the theological seminary. I said, because theological seminary, seminary again. He said, because all the messages, those messages that you took to me, that I sent to you, he said, every time, in fact, whenever I come, I will be hearing the thing playing under. He said, I've been eating them. And it seems as if I just enrolled myself in a theological seminary. Say, I'm learning from you. Hello? So it may be your son, it may be your younger brother. If what's your mind say, I can't, like, you see, a lot of things that should have bailed us out are around us, but we don't receive the messenger that is carrying this thing. I give you an example one day when I put food in the dustbin. This man, he was looking for things and he picked it. The following day, I said, no, I said, this same man, I used to see him regularly. I packaged the food, fresh one that was not put in the dustbin. I gave it to him, he refused to take it. How can a black man give him food? But the black man threw the same food in the dustbin and you are eating it. You see, a messenger you don't receive, you cannot receive what he's carrying. When you are offended in somebody, you cannot. It's a spiritual law. It's a law that operates in the physical and the real, in every realm. There are many things that will have changed this world. Like that are residing in Africa, but they say no. We say no. Like Simon was asking me when I was coming in the train, he said that the first wheel, who invented it? I said, that is according to their record. It's according to their record. You want to tell me that those in Africa didn't know anything about wheel before whichever country you say invented it? It's not true. Many things that they put in the so-called Guinness Book of Record, many, many better things happen in other places that they never looked at it. Hallelujah. They won't receive it. Say, oh, who is man? There are times when you even bring suggestion at work. They look at you and say, who is this man? He doesn't know it. But they are cutting themselves off from the solution to their challenge. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I really dwell so much on that. But let's just mention the rest and we try to close. Thank you, Jesus. So, I said number one is offense. Number two is procrastination. Procrastination is delaying. Say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And that's a trick from the devil. An idea just landed in your head now about business. Take pen and write it down. Say, oh, I'll write it later. You know, even when there are times when you had dreams and you wake up and say, ah, you remember everything. Say, oh, I'll write it later. You just dump it. Before you know, afternoon in the evening, you are too busy, you forget it. And whereas God must have spoken to you something that's about to happen. Hello? That's why a serious Christian should go around. Don't let pen be far away from you. And any material. That's why when you open my bag, there's no way you will find pen and you find a paper, sir. You know, Bishop Oyedepo said one of the reasons why he decided to hire a driver was because at a time when he will be driving and be thinking, an idea will come. We will have to park and start writing the things down. You know, I need to get a driver so that I won't be late to wherever I'm going. So what I'm trying to say is that don't procrastinate. Don't promise. What's that English in Europe? Don't postpone. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. A time will come when it will be too late. A man that is dead, can he call God? Can he call on God? He can't call on God. It's too late. Thank you, Jesus. So don't procrastinate. Don't postpone. Attend to it. There is time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He said there is time to everything. There is a season. and a time to every purpose under the heaven. You have been called to play football. You say, I want to postpone it. By the time you are 30, no club. We sign you on. Even Inter Milan, even if Megida talk to them and beg them, they won't sign you in. Hallelujah. Hello? Because it will be too late. You are no more their fan. You've dumped them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm trying to say is that there is time for everything. So don't postpone an act immediately. Especially when idea comes. Don't joke with it. Thank you, Jesus. Number three is false self-esteem. False self-esteem. That means to appraise yourself wrongly. And it can come in two ways. Pride can come in and say, okay, no, I'm too much for that thing. That is dangerous. This means to estimate yourself based on the information you receive from the five senses. Hallelujah. And you will most likely underestimate or overestimate yourself. That's the truth. Because your five senses will tell you that, oh, this thing is too difficult, I can't know it. Say, me? You asked me to study this thing. This thing is too difficult, I can't know it. You can't. That's what you just said it. Hello? Or you say, this thing is too simple. I've had that experience in myself. When you say, okay, this thing is too simple, I will do it. By the time you start doing it, then you see that it's not really simple as you thought. Hello? So, wrong self-esteem is a mind virus that stops the mind from being developed. Estimate yourself according to the scripture, according to the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself, whether you be in faith. So, check yourself. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Examine yourself. Don't let anybody help you to do that. Examine yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Number four is the weight of past glory. The weight of past glory is also a mind virus. Or past defeat. You say, I've arrived. We have been doing it before. And especially with kids. Let's try as much as possible to help them with this. He's the first in the class this time. Don't relax. You put in more effort. Hallelujah to Jesus. Put in more effort. The failure of yesterday is gone. But it is a pointer to the glory of tomorrow. So don't say, okay, don't hold on to the weight of the past defeat. Don't say, okay, I've attempted this exam. It didn't work, so I can never make it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Once you seal up your mind that you can never make it, you can't make it truly. Hello? You remember when we used to come and talk about Baba Yaba? Say, nobody can sit for GC and pass at one sitting. It's a lie. Hallelujah. It's a lie. It was so common then, even in our area. And they will give you an example. Look at that brother. He was the senior prefect in the school. He only managed to get 3 credit. In fact, they even taught us that when you are praying, you should pray. That whoever is marking your paper should not be drunk that day. Oh, in Jesus' name, don't let him be drunk. The right good thing, you will pass, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is that don't let past glory stop you from developing your brain, your mind, and aiming for high. And don't let past defeat stop you from saying, okay, I can't make it in life. Thank you, Jesus Christ. You can see reference from Micah. Chapter 7, verse 8, if you're writing down. He said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I fall, I shall rise. So it's possible to fall. He said, when? Hallelujah. There is nobody in life except Jesus that lived a mistake-free life. We've all made mistakes, one way or the other. But to refuse to rise up after the mistake, if a child will say, okay, I'm trying to learn to walk, and he falls beginning. And he says, okay, because it's difficult to work, I don't want to work again. Then we live in the wheelchair all his life. It will become not even a challenge. How do you call this thing? A burden. Hello? And that's what all people are doing. Because they have failed one time. I say, they refuse to try again. And they become a burden to life. You will not be a burden no matter what Jesus Christ. Your children will not be a burden to them, no matter the name of Jesus Christ. Number five, comparison. To compare yourself. and say, ah, no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, therefore, we dare not make ourselves of one of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So they are not wise. Don't compare yourself with others and say, ah, that sister, you know, he's so connected, that's why he's making it. Yes. The connection might have helped in one way or the other, but you too can connect. Hello? And find out the way, through the help of the Holy Spirit, how to make it in life. It's a game of foolishness. Never use another man as a yardstick for your own life, because your purpose is different. Hello? Don't use the yardstick of others and say, ah, we were born the same year. We attended the same school. That was what made those guys to get offended in Jesus. He said, we went to the same area. We played the same football together. Abba, why is his own different? But the purpose of his life is different from your own. Even our speed in life, they're different. Because this man that you're talking about, he was even designed to die in 3 years and 3.5 times then. So if you compare yourself with him, they will have destroyed your destiny. Thank you, Jesus Christ. You have different purpose and goal in life. So be looking at your vision and as your target, not the vision of other people. Thank you, Jesus. Your own vision. Set your eye on your own purpose, not the vision of others. Don't compare. And that's one of the challenges we have, especially among our people. Once somebody is doing something, every other people will run to go and do the same thing. It doesn't work that way. Thank you, Jesus. Another mind virus is believe in spell and enchantment. Say spell and enchantment. He said, our generation has been caused, so nothing can work. That's a satanic lie. Because in Christ Jesus, Bible said that all things has passed away. All things has become new. Thank you, Jesus. Many believe that they are under a spell, thereby pointing accusing finger to the devil and not advancing in life. So, we are under curse. They've cursed black men. Black men can't make it. And so, that one automatically stops his mind from reasoning his way out. Hello? So don't be all this believing in enchantments, and they are real, but in Christ Jesus, you have been redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. The level of your mind determines your level of consumption of the things of God. So consume the things of God. Let him renew your mind. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't say, in our lineage, nobody has ever made it in life. Yeah, but you can be the first one. Hallelujah. You know, they told Jesus, you're going to die and rise again. Nobody has ever done that before. He would have said, no, go, Father, forget. I can't do that too. Because I cannot believe it. Nobody has ever done. People who died and were raised from death, they still died when they became old. Hello? Have you ever thought about that? Or even when the Lord told Abraham, I want your son. Say, my what? God forbid. You run it. Possible. No. Thank you, Jesus. So, believe in spell and enchantment makes people to say, no, I can't make it in life. Let me just hang around. Another one is lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is a mind virus. Ignorance kills more than anything. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. Lack of knowledge is a mind virus. Hallelujah. Another one is believe in concept of unequal destiny. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. One of the mind viruses is they believe in the concept of unequal destiny. You know, we were raised to believe that, if you belong to some race, I see you are better. I remember when I used to have dogs, and there was a particular dog, very beautiful. So when people come to our house, they say, this one is Ajoyinbo. He said, this one is white man's dog. Why does he have to be white man's dog? Because it's a beautiful puppy, beautiful dog. He doesn't have to be white to be right. No! Thank you, Jesus. He does not have to be white to be right. Hello? Some will even try to back it up with the scripture that okay, when they are describing the Son of God, they say he came in white, so it's wrong to wear anything black is not good. No, that's not true. God created color black too. Hello? Let's understand the Bible. When the Bible talks about darkness, it's talking about the work of the evil, not that the color black or even that darkness is good. It's not good. In that context, in fact, before the fall, he said he created the day and the night. How will night come? It's not when darkness comes. So how can darkness be evil? In that context. So let's try to understand the Bible very well. It's not wrong to be black. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even if we are black, if we are brown, those who are called black, are they white? I mean, they are called white, are they white? There's no, if in fact, it's only dead body that's like that. That when it stays too long in the freezer, nobody is white and nobody is really black. It's just nomenclature that people conjure to describe people. And they've so much conditioned people's mind to believe that anything that is from Africa or from brown people is not good. But there are inventions, glorious ones, that came from those same people that you're talking about. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible made us understand that even the same people, that the same stone that were rejected shall become the chief cornerstone. And it's happening now. It's happening now. They are running here and there looking for solutions. Do you think it's just by fun? I mean, it's just by mistake that they are trying to run to our continent to go and invest? No. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So, the belief of concept of unequal destiny, it can ruin people's mind. You say, that man. Oh, no one that is doing better. He came from... No, we have equal destiny. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the last one is lack of mental exercise. Say lack of mental exercise. Force your brain to sweat. Hello? You know this one is when people run away from challenges. Challenges will force your brain to sweat and will force it to produce. There are some solutions that can never come to you until your brain, until challenges come. You know, what challenges does is that it places pressure on your capacity to come out. You know, some people, due to their stature, you think they won't be able to run. But you release one big dog after them now. You will see them. Adelani will be released immediately. Hello? He said, this guy is fast. He can't move. Release that dog. Girl. You will know that he can run faster than Ben Johnson or than Usain Bolt. Hello? The same way, our brain. You know, there are things that you say, okay, this thing can't work. But by the time your brain comes to be, is forced to work, to think, he begins to work. Let's begin to give God glory. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise because we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The creative mind. The mind that is able to create. The mind with which God created all this beautiful universe. The scientists, they are still trying to study it and even interpret it according to their own. They've not been able. And we have this same creative mind. That's why I know that in this year of divine enlightenment, our mind will be enriched afresh. Our mind will be empowered to take us to the high place of life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As you show up at work, as you show up among your colleagues, as you show up among your family, they will look at you like they did for Jesus and will say, what wisdom is this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ? So let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Let's magnify his holy name. Let's worship him. Let's say, Lord, I thank you for my mind. I thank you for the mind of Christ that you have given unto me. I give you glory. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Remember the story of Agai? She was going with Ishmael. And at a point, they were so thirsty. The boy was about to die. And the mother was about to die. But the way that they're supposed to feed, to give them refreshment, was so close to them. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't see. Until your mind is able to see what God is saying, you cannot lay hold on that promise. God said to Abraham, "Say, I'm going to have your children is going to be so mighty and so many, like the sea, like the sand of the sea." Say, what is this man saying? Then I come out, look up. Say, I look up. And what is it? Look at the stars. Can you count them? I can't count them. That's what I'm talking about. Hello? Because sometimes God is telling you that I'm going to make you a millionaire. You are trying to condition God, saying in this context, in this country, okay, maybe he's talking about being a millionaire in Naira. But he's telling you, you're going to be a millionaire in dollars. Say amen.
Amen.
Hello. You see, don't limit him. Hello. Don't judge based on what you can see now. If that was what he was telling, he brought him out. I want us to pray. Lord, open my eyes of understanding. Open my eyes of understanding to see the solution to the challenges of my life. Open my eyes of understanding to see the solution to the challenges of my life. Some people, all he needs to do is just to change his approach. But he's still struggling. He's still crying day by day, night by night, and saying, oh, why is this family not working? Why is this business not working? Why is it that, this thing is not working? But the solution is so close to him. We need to see. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. I want us to pray with passion. Lord, open my eyes of understanding. Open my eyes of understanding to the secret, to the secret, to the topmost top in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, open my eyes of understanding. Lord, open my eyes of understanding in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will visit you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, every success story is secret made. I told you that I was just looking at somebody's book where they were from five about to sit for O levels. It wasn't even my book, that in the course syllabus. And I said, in this syllabus, the people that made the syllabus, they wrote the places that we need to concentrate on for the exam. So I said, I got the secret. Hallelujah. You see, there are some things, they even made note under it that this one is just for you to hear about it. Don't concentrate on it. So I studied according to the syllabus. And he busted that thing and said, okay, nobody can make all levels at once. Who told them? You see, secret. I want us to pray again. That boggling issue of my life, the secret, Lord, show me. Show me the secret. Show me the secret. In the night dream, show me the secret. According to your word, show me the secret. Lord, as I'm studying the word, show me the secret. He may just tell you the secret of supernatural health. He may tell you the secret of longevity. He may tell you the secret to prosperity. Show me the secret. Show me the secret, Lord. Show me the secret, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we dance for just 2 minutes and just to appreciate God? Because this is the last week of the month. We're supposed to give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't mind, let's give God thanks just for a few minutes again. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.